I'm Natalie Linton, who's going to talk to us about Tdap vaccination coverage amongst teenage mothers in Washington State.
So good morning. Unfortunately, I'm also an uninventive titler, but this is the subject of my presentation. Over the decade evaluated in this presentation, the population of Washington State grew from 6.3 million in 2005 to just over 7 million in 2015. During this time, Washington maintained a universal vaccine program for children ages 18 and younger, wherein practices across Washington receive state-supplied vaccine at no cost. However, despite the implications a universal vaccination program has for promoting Tdap vaccination coverage, we have had intermittent pertussis outbreaks, including an epidemic with more than 4,000 cases that occurred in 2012 and part of 2013. We do our best to keep track of vaccination status of our residents for public health surveillance purposes and have an immunization information system that tracks receipt of vaccine doses administered in Washington. The Washington IIS has been populated by birth certificate data since 1998. Despite a decline in the birth rate for teens in Washington over the last decade, there are still many teen mothers. To give you an idea, in 2014, the birth rate for 15 to 19-year-olds in Washington was 19.1 per 1,000 women. So, with pregnant teens and our pertussis outbreaks in mind, we began an evaluation of vaccination status for teen mothers in Washington. The goal of this evaluation was to determine what proportion of teens who gave birth in Washington between 2005 and 2015 received a Tdap vaccination according to National Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, recommendations. To this end, we linked Washington birth certificates to our IIS records using deterministic and fuzzy matching methods. We only looked at pregnancies where the mother was 18 years or younger at delivery of a live infant for whom a birth certificate was registered, and we stratified by time period according to what ACIP recommendation was in place at the time the child was born, and yes, fuzzy matching is a technical term. So let's briefly review what these ACIP recommendations are. There are three different recommendations voted on during our evaluation period. The first recommendation included a once-in-a-lifetime dose for anyone 10 years or older, so basically anyone in our study should have gotten a Tdap. For pregnant women in particular, a dose was recommended postpartum if not previously received, and a dose was recommended for family members and close contacts of the infant. In the second ACIP evaluation period, Tdap was recommended during pregnancy, ideally after 20 weeks gestation, for women previously unvaccinated or immediately postpartum if a vaccine was not received during pregnancy. For the third ACIP evaluation period, Tdap was recommended for each pregnancy, ideally during the third trimester at 27 to 36 weeks gestation. So let's review this as a timeline. Please note that this timeline is not entirely to scale for readability purposes. So, in early 2005, FDA approved Boostrix and Adacel for use on those 10 years of age and older, though approved use of Adacel was capped at 64 years. Our evaluation period begins July 1, 2005. In 2012, as I mentioned earlier, Washington had a large pertussis outbreak. The first relevant ACIP recommendation for the study period was voted on in October 2005, though the recommendation was not published until over a year later, in December 2006. As you can see, there is some discrepancy between when FDA approval was given, when ACIP voted on a recommendation, and when the recommendation was published. So for our evaluation, we decided to begin each ACIP evaluation period at the beginning of the month after the vote occurred, except for the first evaluation period, which began before the first vote but after FDA approval of Boostrix and Adacel. So it's a little bit of, you know, creative license here. So please keep that in mind as I go through this presentation. Our evaluation population consisted of 30,578 mothers, 18 years of age and younger. The median age of these mothers was 17 with a range of 11 to 18. They gave birth to between 1 and 4 infants during the study period. Of these 30,578 mothers, we were able to match 24,000 or 79% to our immunization information system. Of the 24,000 matched, 15,471 or 65% had a Tdap recorded in our IIS. and these women gave birth to 16,572 infants in the study period. In the next few slides, we will look specifically at the first pregnancies and births that occurred during our evaluation period for each of these 15,471 women. So we're only going to be looking at 15,471 pregnancies. 56% of these pregnancies and births occurred during the first ACIP period. 15% occurred during the second period, and the remaining 33% occurred during the third period. So for births in the first ACIP period, maternal TDAP status met ACIP TDAP recommendations for 19% of mothers. During the second period, 71% met ACIP recommendations, and in the third period, 47% of mothers met ACIP recommendations. So this is not very helpful, so let's review each period separately. So again, well, let's start by saying the yellow highlighted text indicates numbers that relate to whether a mother met ACIP recommendations. So again, during this first period, 19% of women, of mothers, met the ACIP recommendation voted on in October 2005. They are considered to have met the recommendation if they received a TDAP before pregnancy or immediately after pregnancy, which we are generously defining as within 14 days postpartum. Of the 19% of women who met the recommendation, 83% received a TDAP before pregnancy, and 17% received a TDAP immediately after giving birth. Additionally, 198 women received a TDAP during pregnancy, although it was not recommended during that period. So for ACIP period 2, maternal TDAP status met ACIP recommendations for 71% of mothers. If a mother received a TDAP anytime before her pregnancy, anytime during her pregnancy, or within 14 days postpartum, very generous, she was considered to have met the recommendation. So of the 71% of women who met those whose TDAP status met the ACIP recommendation, 65% received a TDAP before pregnancy, 20% received a TDAP during pregnancy, and 14% received a TDAP within 14 days postpartum. The postpartum number excludes two women who also received a TDAP during pregnancy. Of the 20% who received a TDAP during pregnancy, 86% received their dose after 20 weeks gestation, which was the ideal timing noted in the ACIP recommendation for this period. During ACIP period 3, maternal TDAP status met ACIP recommendations for 47% of mothers. Women were considered to have met the recommendation if they received a TDAP during pregnancy, as the recommendation is for women to receive a TDAP with each pregnancy. Of the 47% of mothers who received a TDAP during pregnancy, 97% received the dose after 20 weeks gestation, and 82% received the dose between 27 and 36 weeks gestation, which was the ideal timing noted in the ACIP recommendation for this period. For reference, 1,600 of the women who gave birth in this time period received a TDAP before pregnancy, and 411 received a TDAP within 14 days postpartum, though 17 of those who received a postpartum dose had also received a TDAP during pregnancy. There are several limitations to these estimates. Vaccination coverage encountered by the study is assumed to be an underestimate, as we know that not all TDAP doses administered in Washington are entered into our IIS. As well, doses administered outside of Washington for these women may not have been copied into our IIS. Matching is also an inexact process, and some matches may not have been identified, particularly for cases where the child may have been adopted. For adoption in Washington, the name of the mother on the birth certificate is changed to that of the adoptive mother, while the mother's birth date remains that of the birth mother for statistical use, which is very unhelpful for matching. Another limitation of this evaluation is that timing of the implementation of ACIP recommendations may have varied by provider, and the cutoffs used in this evaluation may not best reflect actual implementation of ACIP recommendations by providers. We have several additional analyses we wish to explore using this data, including stratification by variables such as delivery source of payment, WIC participation, and geographic location. Additionally, we hope to modify and partially replicate this analysis for fathers listed on the birth certificates of these infants. I would like to thank our senior epidemiologist for vaccine-preventable diseases, Chaz DeBolt, for conceptualizing the evaluation and assisting with its interpretation, as well as our Offices of Immunization and Child Profile, Center for Health Statistics, and Office of Communicable Disease Epidemiology. I hope that you found this brief foray into the topic of Tdap vaccination coverage among teen mothers informative, and we hope to have additional analyses and information available in the near future, and maybe we'll even get to present them next year. Thank you.